Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio.
Nerd alert.
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 214 of Nerd Pride Radio. 214, the number of bones in a normal human skeleton, according to Sarah Connor in Terminator 2 Judgment Day. Yeah, which is not true because we hit the number of human bones in a human body a few episodes ago. So ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me.
How are you doing?
How are you doing today?
Thank you. I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to have fun about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. Our sponsor this week is Jelzakama's Pawn and Loans. When you've looted the bodies and you need quick cash, come on down to Jelzakama's. And then that's it. I got no other prep work. We're going to go straight to the meticulously planned portion of this podcast. So this is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list, and then the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. So straight into it. First up, the gaming table.
I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die.
Role-playing games, video games, board games, card games, any games. If it fits on my gaming table, then I am here to share it with you. And the only game on the table this week, well, actually, there's a few. All right, first off, I got some games for Christmas, and we already played Rhino Hero, which is...
Oh, my gosh.
Phenomenal.
Absolutely.
Rhino Hero is a card game. Well, you have cards, but you're using the cards to build a card tower, and each roof that you lay down shows you how you're going to bend the cards and set them up to form the next layer, the next floor, and then you can put down a new roof, and then the next guy goes. And this thing is hysterical. It is like, it's like playing Jenga. In that it's a balance game, except that, you know, Jenga is more deconstructing and this is more constructing.
And now there's a rhino involved.
And there's a rhino. You are a little distant from the mic. You want to get up closer?
Well, I mean, you can move your mic. I mean, accommodate me a little.
I don't think I could. But there's a rhino figure in it that on some of the cards you have to move the rhino up. And then, okay, now someone plays another rhino card, so now you have to carefully pick that rhino out of the building and place him up on the next level. And it is just a super fun game. I mean, really, it's listed as a kid's game, which, you know, anybody can play it.
Yeah.
But, oh, it's so much fun. We had a great time with this one. So, have we broken out any of the other new games yet?
We did Booby Trap.
Oh, yeah, we played Booby Trap, which is the same as Oh Snap. They renamed Booby Trap. It's a game from years and years and years ago, and now apparently they think the name Booby Trap is...
too giggle-worthy.
Exactly. So they've renamed it to Oh Snap. Is that funny to you, Lisa? And so they've renamed it to Oh Snap, but we got a classic version that was still named Booby Trap. And so we did that, and that one's really fun. I got Santorini, but I've already played that a bunch of times. I love Santorini. And we got The Captain is Dead. This is the one that we have not played yet, but it looks really good. This is a co-op game where you're on a Star Trek-like ship, and the captain has died, and so now it's up to everybody else to work together as a team to try and repair the ship and stop the invading aliens before time runs out, and it's really cool. So we're excited about that one too. But let's see, was there any other ones? Oh. We also have been playing some Magic the Gathering because I got, all right, for Christmas, by the way, we got lots of stuff from lots of people, but specifically from some of you guys, I got gifts from Dave, I got gifts from Phoebe, I got a gift from Nelly that is...
All the boys got gifts from Nelly.
Well, she actually just sent it to me, but then I gave you guys some of it because It's just that cool. And I what? Am telling... Well, yeah, that's... it's. Anyway, I'll explain. All right, so Nelly works at Card Kingdom, and Card Kingdom puts together packages with Magic cards. Like, they have pre-built decks, and they have... it's really cool stuff. And so she packed up a bunch of stuff that I can only imagine, even with her employee discount, she must have spent way too much. And so there's a part of me that wants to tell her that this is too much and she really shouldn't do this. But then the biggest part of me is kicking that part's ass and saying, oh, dude, this is so cool, though. I mean, these were awesome. So I've got a deck builder box that is, they've already pre-selected all sorts of stuff, green and white, to match my favorite deck, my green and white deck. And so I've got all this stuff to build a really cool deck out of. And I've been playing with them. I haven't finished building, but I'm getting there. And I'm super excited with that one. But also they sent us, she sent us some of the pre-built decks and then some deck boxes and some card sleeves and this kind of stuff. And the pre-built decks are amazing.
Oh yeah.
This was, I went ahead and I took, there were three pre-built decks in there. So, I took those out and wrapped them up separately from Nelly to each one of the boys that are here, so Eli, Noah, and Aiden. And when they opened them, you could see Noah was super excited. But you could see the other two were kind of like, oh, all right, well, that's cool. But I mean, you know, like this hesitancy of wanting to play a deck that someone else built for them, it just feels weird.
I don't usually like to play pre-builds because it's not doing what I've designed it to do. I'm doing what the deck has been telling me to do.
Right. And so then you got to actually use it.
Right.
And how did it work for you?
It works pretty all right.
That is not the reaction he gave when he first played the thing.
It kicks ass, yes.
He came in raving. He's like, oh my god, you are not gonna believe this. I mean, like he's giving, you know how Magic players do when they're being really super obnoxious and they're giving you a blow by blow of their last game? It was that. It was showing off all the stuff that the thing did for him and how the cards built on each other, because the one Aiden got was the artifact based deck.
And equipment based deck. Equipment. Get it right.
What? Whatever, it's all Pokemon to me.
He swears he plays Magic, don't worry.
But it was so cool. So that amazing gift. Thank you, Nelly. That was really cool. Let's see. Then, okay, but the real reason we're here at the gaming table is we have been playing Starfinder.
Oh, yes, we have.
We've been playing Starfinder for the last 2 days, and we've gone into... the first adventure path, we were playing in, some introductory stuff that came for free in some PDFs that they had published before the adventure path came out. We're doing some introductory stuff there, but we kind of got halfway through that series and realized that, you know what? Or at least I realized I'm not terribly excited about any of those. And what I really want to do is I want to get into this adventure path. This is the Dead Sons adventure for Starfinder. It's their first adventure path. So we've got book one out of six. And also this week, Alien Archives showed up. So, I now have the Book of Aliens, which is totally badass. So we've got all the aliens and we've got the adventure path and we just set to it. And then, in case anyone needs an explanation, Starfinder is a role-playing game. It is based on the Pathfinder system from Paizo. But they've built it into a sci-fi game set some unknown number of thousands of years into the future. And it is super cool. It is sci-fi with magic in it. And so there's elves and dwarves as well as all sorts of alien races. And it's really good. Really good. And what happened here is playing in Dead Sons, we're about a third of the way through this book. We've gone through the first section out of three sections. And the exciting part about this is, for me at least, the world is just really coming alive for me. Like, I finally, you know, I've been excited about Starfinder since even before it came out. But now, all of a sudden, it's feeling like these are real characters and real places, and that this story actually means something to me. And I'm so having a good time with this. You guys have any highlights?
Being a SWAT team breaking down the door of a club owner.
Yeah. They were... Okay. My wife is over there. I say, do you have any highlights? And she's pointing to her hair going, yes, I do, but it's really expensive to get them. So... gosh, she's stepping on my mood here. So, anyway, yeah, go ahead. SWAT team.
So, long story short, our adventure brings us that we need information from a gang leader. This gang leader runs a nightclub. And so, we can't get information peacefully, so we come back the next day with
right. Look, they saw that people were getting frisked at the door. They actually came in, and they tried coming in without their weapons, and they were just going to try and bribe their way in, intimidate a few people, talk it out, and, I mean, essentially...
that didn't work.
They got kicked to the curb. I mean, there was just nothing doing.
We came back the next day with weapons, silently killed both the door guards, snuck our way into the back room, killed the three guards back there, then we threw a grenade into the office, and then busted down the door like a SWAT team. And
it was... It was so good.
It was like an actual tactical operation. It was beautiful.
It felt like playing some Shadowrun in that they did their reconnaissance, they did their stealth operations, and then, like every good Shadowrun mission, eventually you get far enough in that, oh, alright, the jig is up, they know we're here, boom, we break out all the explosives. And it was just fun. Just
and the
so
best
much
part
fun.
About it? Is no one on the dance floor knows anything.
Right. And while they're doing this, the music is so loud out on the dance floor that they sneak in through the main area. They get to the back room. They take out everybody. And nobody in the club is any the wiser
once
it's all
over. Three grenades went off.
They got in there, and it was just everybody had their moment. Like all three of the main characters here, all three of them had their shining moment where they pulled off something, and holy crap. They saved the day, and everybody's cheering and having a good time. They all had something to brag about when they were done. And
now, here's the thing. No. So, before we even knew about this fight, all three of us had picked out a weapon that we wanted.
Right, because they were realizing how quickly the cash was adding up. As they're like, they're still, the way the legal system works here... there's still a bit of lawlessness in Absalom Station, which is where most of this action is taking place. And so they have the ability to actually loot the bodies as they go. So we haven't given up that aspect of D&D and Pathfinder that, you know, if you kill somebody, you're still going to loot them. And so, yeah, they're figuring out, oh my gosh, we're going to have a lot of money.
And so we pick out these weapons. Noah wanted this, like, tactical pistol. Eli wanted an auto-aim rifle. And I wanted the heavy cannon laser artillery. And after we finish this fight, it comes to pass that the book states all three of these things are right here for us, for free.
Yeah, exactly. And it was,
Dad, I have a laser cannon.
See? Laser cannon. because he wanted that laser cannon so bad. And
1d10 damage.
He was so excited about it, and so they break down the door, and there's the big bad guy holding exactly the laser cannon he wanted. And Noah wanted the tactical pistol, and there's the gang leader, the woman hiding behind the desk, taking cover there and firing at them with the exact pistol that he was looking for. And so now, Eli, you could see Eli getting a little, I mean, he was happy for them and he cheered for them, but you could see he was a little frustrated because now he's the only one who has to actually spend money on the upgraded weapons.
And then we break into the back room.
Right, and then they go and open up the
loot room.
The closet where the gang keeps all their extra loot and weapons, and sure enough, there was his gun just laying there, and all of it straight out of the book. They actually had me turn the book around and show them where it said it, because they didn't believe that it, by coincidence, everything happened to be
yes,
there.
Yes, Noah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
With that semi-automatic...
I'm sorry, was that a hum or a harumph?
A attention-getting
Oh, okay.
Noise.
A hum. Okay, go ahead.
So, with the tactical pistol I wanted, turns out I could sell it to get an even better pistol for like only 45 credits taken off.
So he didn't actually wind up keeping it. It was the pistol he wanted, but then later he found out that, wait, we've got so much money, I could actually do even better than this. And so he did. So, anyway, what I'm saying is that Starfinder is phenomenal. Like I say, we've played before and had a really good time. I've been excited about Starfinder forever, but, I'm telling you, if we hadn't run out of time, I'm ready to dive into the next section. I've got it all. I've read through all of it. I know all the highlights. I know where we're going. And sadly, we had to come here and record a podcast instead of playing more Starfinder today. But we're going to get to it and soon because, this is so much fun. So I highly recommend, if you haven't picked up Starfinder yet, if you're interested in any kind of sci-fi game, Starfinder can be whatever sci-fi setting you want it to be. It is really geared for that.
Sort of like the Potomatic is about
whatever you want it to be. Thank you so much. Way to bring it home. But then that's it for the gaming table. So next up, get the little ones out of the room. Make sure you're sitting down for this.
Nerd rage came flashing back, and I just looked at him and went, "Rrr!"
That's right, it's time for some nerd rage. All right, here's my rage, is when I am in a parking lot, and it's after a big event, like every year we go see the fireworks in town, and it's always this huge deal, and whether we park in the back parking lot where they've got all the space in the field marked out, or whether we get out on the street or whatever, we know getting out of this place, it's going to take us half hour, hour. You're going to be sitting in your car a long time. And yet somehow, no matter how often you've been here, it seems like everyone around you is just, they're just itching to get out and just angry because they can't get out fast enough. But I'm serious. It drives me nuts. We go to a concert and it's going to take us forever. So, our boys know, our family knows that if we're going to a big thing like this, yeah, bring your video games or your phones or your whatever, or we'll sing songs or we'll talk. We're just going to sit in the car. We're in no hurry whatsoever. We're just going to sit back, relax, have a good time. And yet somehow there's just all these people around us and you can see them trying to figure out which lane is moving fastest and trying to cut across all the grass and over between the other cars so they can nose their way out. And it's like, seriously, how much effort do you need to put into this? All you're doing is hurting yourself.
You'll eventually get there.
Right. You're risking that you're going to get, that you're going to ding somebody's car. You're going to run over somebody. You're going to, you knew before you came out here that every event you've ever been to before is exactly like this. Why did you think that this was somehow going to be different? That somehow you found the magic secret on where to park so you can get out sooner. It's not going to happen. So, I got to thinking about this because Yancey went to Carlsbad Caverns recently. And he was talking about being in Carlsbad. And it was one of those things that you know what? If I had showed up at Carlsbad Caverns and not known ahead of time how it was arranged, I might have been a little frustrated. But apparently, you get there and Carlsbad, there's a long walk down, you wind up, spending 2 hours walking downhill until your calves hurt from walking downhill because you're constantly having to hold yourself from sliding. And you get to see all the caves and the caverns, and you get to the bottom, and after 2 hours, your legs are hurting, and now you're at the bottom, though. And now there's this flat area, and it's all nice and easy, and it's like a mile and a quarter to go all the way around this big loop. And, if you go all the way around, then you come back to where you started. And now there's an elevator that will take you back out of here. All right, but here's the downside, and here's the part that would have gotten me. I would have seen that, there's an elevator. Okay, we'll do the walk down, we'll do the loop, and then you get on the elevator, you're out. Yeah, some of the elevators are down. And so he said it was just over an hour wait in line to get on an elevator. But way better than walking uphill for 2 hours. So you wait around for an hour. And he said once they figured out what was going on, he said, you stand there, you wait in line, you've got your phone, you play some Candy Crush, whatever it is you're going to do, and eventually you'll get out of here. But the idea that some people down there were just so frustrated, so angry, they had places to be, and if I hadn't known ahead of time, if I was going to Carlsbad and I didn't know ahead of time that's what it was going to take, if I hadn't slotted in 45 minutes to an hour to stand in line for an elevator, I might have been getting, well, no, you know what? I don't think I would get upset because I just realized we had, when we first went to Yellowstone, that first day going into Yellowstone, and we were looking at the map and we're like, oh, okay, it's going to be like a 30-minute drive to get us into the park, and then we'll be right where we needed to be. Oh, yeah, except there was so much crap going on and traffic is so backed up because everybody's going into the park that it took us, what, just over 2 hours, 2.5 hours to get into Yellowstone that first day. And so here we are looking at, you know, the morning is slowly wasting away and we're feeling like we've missed out on so much. But we're like, okay, but, you know, nothing we can do about it. And we actually, we had to reconfigure what our plans were for the rest of the day, you know, so we kind of rescheduled stuff. But then, you know, again, conversations, singing songs, watching the sights, trying to see if, you know, see what you can spot out there. This was before cell phones for the whole family, and we weren't letting the kids play video games for this one. So,
you know what I want?
What?
A segment where I have input.
Go for it. What do you want to do?
Maybe move on. I don't know. I've just been sitting here in silence, eating my gummy worms for, you know, the last 20 minutes.
But if I cater to you, it won't be all about me.
You know they like me more than you, though, right?
About 50-50. So, well, okay. No, they like me better. All right, so anyway, I don't have any proof of that. So,
okay, quick poll.
Your mom likes you better.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that was it. I just, Yancy had gotten to talking about that, and we started talking about expectations, and realized that, yeah, you know what? If things are going to slow you down, they're going to slow you down. Don't, you know, no reason to get yourself all worked up over it, because you can't do anything about it. I mean, you just get there when you get there. Jeez. All right. Maybe that wasn't the greatest nerd rage, but now let's do something that Aiden can talk about. Roku! Yeah, Roku is the streaming box that we used to watch all of our streaming TV on. We don't anymore, but I love saying Roku. Hey, how's Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine is fantastic.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine is fantastic.
I jumped in with Dad and the boys around the tail end of Season 2.
Somewhere around there. You're about halfway through Season 2, yeah.
And so then I'm watching the show. Like, at first I'm not even paying attention. I'm just in the living room with them playing on my Switch. But I'm chuckling at the jokes. I'm like, well, now I have to go watch the rest of this show. So I not only watch the ahead episodes with them, but I'm also in my spare time watching through season 1 through 2.5 on my own.
Yes, and we're having so much fun watching it that now Lisa's going to get herself caught up on it as well, because it's Brooklyn Nine-Nine is just a seriously funny show, guys. It really is. The character development on this thing, the characters are really, really entertaining, really well done.
I care about them.
Yes, and it's just genuinely funny all the time. This is, all right, here's the drawback to the show. I was sitting down looking for a new show for me to watch by myself when I've got some TV time.
Is this a drawback and not the best thing ever? Because you love your family so much.
So, because...
Can you hear me now?
The plan was that I was going to watch a show for fun, when I had free TV time, needed to relax, I could watch something by myself, watch a couple episodes before I go to bed, whatever. And I don't know what possessed me, but...
Probably a ghost. Maybe a demon.
I called Eli in, because I knew Eli was the only one. You were out with friends, and Noah was doing something else, entertaining himself, reading in the bath or something like that. And I don't know where Mom was. Lisa was out somewhere.
In the bath.
No, she was gone.
No, she was with Grandma.
Yeah, she was out with Grandma.
Also, I've been here the whole time.
Yeah, and so...
You have nothing to whine about.
I called Eli in, and I said, hey, Eli, I'm watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Any chance you want to join me? He's like, sure, what is it? He sat down, and the Brooklyn Nine-Nine, you got to know Eli. Eli is pretty stoic. Eli does not show his emotions, unless it's anger. He does not show his emotions on... Ow! Why do you throw stuff at me? Why do you throw more stuff at me? So, anyway, Eli comes in, and Eli, every episode we watch, he has at least 3 or 4 moments where he is just belly laughing, like uncontrollable laughter at this show because it is that funny.
They roll.
we are not getting an SUV. They roll, baby. They roll. That's from the first episode even. And it just, ow. Like I say, watching Eli and seeing how entertained he was and how happy this show made him, it's like, all right, this is our show now. We'll watch together.
One of my favorite things about this show is having Terry Crews do nothing athletic the entire show.
Terry Crews is amazing.
Oh my gosh.
Andy Samberg is really good. My favorite is Captain Holt.
My God, yes.
Andre Brower? Bronger? I can't remember his name. Brower, I think. Anyway, Captain Holt is my favorite, but I love everybody on this show. So good. All right, so anyway, it's me and Eli watching now, and then we're watching it in the room with Noah while Noah is doing other things, because he's not interested. But once you're in the room with Brooklyn Nine-Nine for more than about 20 minutes, you're hooked.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's me and Eli and Noah, and then eventually me and Eli and Noah and Aiden.
And now Mom's joining in, too.
Now, yeah, up to this point,
wait, no, Jacob.
We've finally gotten to the point where I can't watch the show until I can get everybody in the room together. So I still have to find something else for me to watch alone. But God, it's a good family show. It's a great time. We really, really enjoy this thing.
Ow.
So actually, my alone show now is season 4 of Black Mirror.
Oh, cool. I'll start watching Black Mirror.
Oh, you really should, dude. You should start Black Mirror at episode 1 and go for it. And, Travelers season 2. I love Travelers. And then Lisa watches Grey's Anatomy, which I watch with her.
Because she's a lonely housewife, apparently.
But fortunately, Grey's Anatomy is one that I can show up every second or third episode, and then I can go, so wait, who the hell is this person? Wait, are they dating now? What? And then she'll give me the 5-minute recap, and like, all right, cool, I can follow from here.
No, that makes sense, yeah.
Sometimes it's a little jarring, sometimes it's like, oh yeah, saw that coming, sure. But yeah, Grey's is really good. It's actually a decent drama. So, all right. It's a decent drama. So, all right. There's that. Oh, Eli and I started watching Bright, which is the Will Smith sci-fi Netflix original movie in which he plays a cop. It's a buddy cop movie where he's teamed up with an orc.
What's the actor's name?
Will Smith.
Somehow they got
Will. You gotta come around here. They can't hear you.
Sorry. Somehow they got Will Smith and put him into some Lord of the Rings movie with cops.
Yes, yes, Will Smith in a Lord of the Rings movie, but set in modern day. And there's wands and wizards, and the whole setup is really super engaging, but we only watched like 15 minutes, and then we kind of had to bail on it, and we just haven't gotten back to it. So I've heard mixed reviews on it. Some people seem to hate it, but I think I'm going to really enjoy this thing. I honestly, I can't see how I'm not going to enjoy this, even if it ends badly, as it might. There's certain kinds of movies that, okay, yeah, great, great film, and then, oh, yeah, the ending was dumb, but okay, that's how they had to do it. But it sounds like they're already working on a sequel, so I'm thrilled. But the last one that we watched streaming, Johnny Dangerously. This was not an awesome in the 80s because Aiden wasn't there for it, but we wanted something to watch with the kids, me and Lisa did, and so we got Eli and Noah in there, and we picked out Johnny Dangerously to watch, and surprisingly had a decent time. Now, here's the thing. Just before I said the word Johnny Dangerously, I went ahead and paused the podcast for a minute, and now suddenly Noah and Eli have both lost every bit of enthusiasm they had. I think it's getting late, and Noah's not feeling well all of a sudden. But they're both here at least, because they're awesome, and they're troopers. So who wants to go first?
I don't know. I'll go first.
Okay. I don't know, but it'll be me. All right, get on in.
But, so, Johnny Dangerously, it's a good movie, but it's a little...
A little inappropriate at times?
Yes.
What? Like what?
Well, inappropriate as in not legal.
Well, sure, he's a criminal. I get that,
well,
but...
not legal in... I'm 14.
Yeah, it is. There's quite a few sex jokes. Hold on. Before I start commenting, what do you got, Noah? You feeling up to talking? All right, he said moan, groan. Okay. So
the humor that was appropriate in the 80s.
It was acceptable. It was
stuff that was, yeah, acceptable back in the 80s when Johnny Dangerously first came out. I mean, when Johnny first starts coming on to the girl Lil Sheridan and they have their banter going back and forth, he's really pushy and it was
very rapey.
Yeah, a little rapey. And it was
just
very inappropriate. And back in the '80s, I mean, that was smooth. That was cool. We thought he was awesome. They just didn't see the appeal of that. And there were some openly racist jokes that just went over like a lead balloon.
Janitor lady.
Yeah, exactly. Mary Margaret Catherine Deneen. I mean, she has nothing but a string of racial epithets is her entire dialogue in this movie.
You at least hear something racist against black people.
Right. Well, right. She was an equal opportunity racist, certainly. And there was certain languages, the word fag to refer to gay people. It's stuff that standards have changed in 30 years.
But they also, right after she says that, she says she goes both ways to fix it.
Yeah, no, that's true. She did do that.
So you can't say they used it wrong.
Well, it doesn't mean that she's allowed to use that kind of language, though.
One of my favorite scenes is where the little brother is like, I'll tell you later. It's something I can't say in front of mom. And then the very old mom's like, after Johnny leaves, the very old looking mom says, I know what you can't say in front of mom is that you want to get laid. Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom.
Yeah. See, some of the jokes still carry over pretty well, though. The boys really, they enjoyed it way more than I thought they would. So that was really, that was kind of rewarding because I was cringing at a lot of the stuff. There's a lot of the humor that just doesn't make the transition over three decades. But there was enough of the good stuff in there that they had a really good time. They watched it all the way through the end. They were talking about it afterwards, happy they watched it. I mean, it was no Airplane. I mean, Airplane's humor carries over solid. Airplane is still good today. Johnny Dangerously, still good, but, you know, it's showing its age. And so, but we had a good time. So there you go. All right. Now I am going to pause for a minute and let these guys go because I think they need to get out of here. And they're gone. I think Noah's coming down with the flu. I really do. We had the kids at the doctor the other day for a checkup and Eli got a flu shot, but Noah didn't. And so now I think he's going to wind up paying for that. And so he's going to find out that, oh my God, if I don't get a flu shot, I get the flu, which is terrible. But I also get to take a couple days off school. It might be a fair trade off. So, oh yeah, as Lisa's pointing out, he did hear a report on the radio that, according to them, or whatever study it was, the flu shot is only effective for 1 in 10 people. So he's like, so, you know, chances were it wasn't going to do me any good anyway. So I don't know why you'd bother, but needles still scare him to death. And we informed him, and he's panicked about it now, that he's got his seventh grade physical coming up this summer. They all have to go get a physical before they go into seventh grade. And he's got shots that he needs to have updated, vaccinations that he's going to have to get. And there's no way of getting out of them. He gets out of the flu shot because, you know, that's not a mandatory one. And he's more trouble than he's worth on it, but this one, he's going to have to bear up and get that needle. He keeps saying he'd much rather be homeschooled, but not letting him get away with it. So, yeah, no, that's true. Homeschoolers get vaccinated too, although you don't have to though. I don't know about Nebraska. That's true. Yeah, no, we're not giving him a waiver on this one. He's getting the vaccinations this summer, so he's going to get it. Anyway, now that all that's done. Do I want to do some fingertips and jump through some of this other stuff? Let me see. Lisa says I should. So, okay, let's do some fingertips. fingertips, fingertips, fingertips. All right, fingertips is just some stuff that I have on my master list. It's not enough to make a full section out of, at least not without a bunch of research that I'm really too lazy to do. So let's go ahead and take a look. Okay. Just this week, I have a guy coming in, a contractor, to fix a printer in our building. And it's a printer that's been broken for a while. And when I say broken for a while, we got it working, but now it doesn't cut. So it's like it prints out on these big long strips of paper. It's supposed to cut labels apart at certain intervals, and the cutter doesn't work. So we have to manually cut them apart with scissors. Well, and when I say we, I mean the people in the pharmacy, not me, obviously. and so we finally get this guy. We got a contract with the company that's going to provide service for these things, and so we arranged to have a service person come down and do this work for us and get this printer fixed up, because we could not figure it out ourselves. And so this guy, Terry, shows up. And Terry is just, he's, I'm guessing, mid-50s. He's a black dude. Not that that's relevant to the story. But, you know, we're in Nebraska where, you know, that's much more rare. And he was just the sweetest guy. Just so nice. I mean, he's super friendly about everything. He's just easygoing. And so he comes in and he winds up breaking the printer worse than it was than when he started, but for good reasons. I mean, I was there. I saw how the work went. I saw the parts that were sent and all the stuff and realized that, okay, somebody screwed up when they shipped these parts out. So, now it's going to take another couple days to get the correct parts. He feels terrible about it. And I do this bit where, when someone does a great job for me, when someone does some work and I can see that they've really put in an effort for me, I will call them a superhero. It's one of my things. All right. So, I'll just say, oh man, you are my hero, or something like, wow, you are a true superhero. That was awesome. Thank you. And it just, you know, some people look at you funny because it's a weird thing to say, but other people take it as the sincere compliment it is and they're cool with it. And so here Terry has been working his heart out and he's been so sweet about it. And as my boss says, look, when you go in to fix somebody's computer, as long as you provide the right attitude and good customer service, you can break their stuff worse than when you started, and they will thank you for it when you leave. And sure enough, that's how Terry was. He's really good at this. And so, so it's getting to the end. All right, we can tell it's the end of the day. He knows what the problem is, knows that the parts aren't here. And so I've got this all holstered up. It's like right here on my hip. I'm ready to tell him, dude, but you're my hero. I appreciate all the work. Thanks so much. And, you know, give him this big compliment at the end. And so I start talking and he immediately responds before I can get anywhere into my compliment. He immediately responds with, oh no, I just appreciate you getting all this stuff for me. You are a real hero, man. Thank you. I'm like, Terry, you stole my hero line. I didn't say that to him because I did. I was so floored that, I mean, like, I was like geared up. I'm like, got the gun cocked, ready to fire. It's like, boom. Hey, thanks, man. You're a real superhero. I'm ready to do it. And he heroes me first. I'm like, God darn it. It was just frustrating. Which, you know, the guy was so nice and sweet. It's not like I could be really mad at him for it, but it was just one of those things where I was just gobsmacked, just hit in the face with it and had no idea what to do. I was obviously very nice to him and off he goes. And I'm going to see him again tomorrow because now we've got the right parts and he'll be back. But, it was just an odd little moment. And so, I really like Terry. He was a fun guy. I look forward to seeing him again, even if he's planning on breaking more stuff because, he was just good to have around. Good guy. Let's see. All right. Next on Fingertips, the show Friends. You guys all saw Friends back in the day. This was the show of the 90s. I mean, me and Lisa watched this thing every week for ages until right about the time that Rachel moved in with Joey, and it just got, I don't know, things got weirder, and we kind of petered out on it and stopped watching. And so all of Friends is on Netflix. And so I started watching again, and I watched probably right about, you know, it's one of those background things that the show's on. And, you know, you can watch a couple episodes while you're getting other things done. No big deal. And over the course of months, I got all the way through to about that same spot and then just kind of lost interest in it again and walked away. But here's the interesting thing about it is This is much like Johnny Dangerously. Man, Friends has really shown its age. There are some, you know, a lot of the original humor is still there. It's still pretty solid. There are some parts of it that just don't translate well. I mean, they're, yeah, really, yeah, cringy, completely cringy. Their treatment of Carol and what's Carol's wife's name on the show? Susan, Carol and Susan. Yeah, the lesbian mom of Ross's, first baby. And every episode that features Carol and Susan, the whole lesbian thing is just not handled well. It is so cringy. There were so many when they had their wedding, and so we got to go to the lesbian wedding, and apparently, other than the six friends who show up, the lesbian couple has nothing but lesbian friends. That's the only people willing to attend this wedding. There's no family. There's no, it's just a whole bunch of lesbians and then the six cast members of Friends. And there was every stereotype on parade. It was just some of the jokes. And I get it, it was the 90s, you know, and there were some, at the time, super progressive. Wow. At the time, groundbreaking. Nowadays, it's like, oh, so harsh. Or even the treatment of, Chandler's dad as a transgender woman. Just bad. He never once acknowledges, his dad as a woman. Even when we see, the character being portrayed, on screen, never accepts it. He's always bitter about it. He's always angry. He's always, as if his dad has done something wrong, it's just gross. But the worst of them, is Ross. Ross, who was the character that I identified with when I saw the show in the 90s, because, you know, he was kind of the brain and the he's a nerd and he's Ross. And you watch now and it's like, oh yeah, no, he's a bad dude. He's the guy who feels that he's entitled to something because he's been put in the friend zone. He's the guy who feels he's unbelievably homophobic. He panics that his son might play with a girl toy. Panics. Like, we have an entire episode about him trying to force his son Ben to play with manly toys because what? Because he might turn out to be gay, because he might have a sensitive side. Ross is a terrible person. I mean, a really bad person. And it just, the more you watch, like, I powered through it because, you know, there's still some funny stuff and there were some moments that I was waiting to get to that I remember from watching originally. And, you know, there's still some of it that's entertaining, but, oh man, Ross is a bad guy. A really bad guy. And it just, man, the deeper you get into it, the more that comes out. It is really tough. I mean, and this has only been 20 years now. I was just talking about it with Lisa. The fat shaming they did with Monica when she was younger and she was supposedly a lot heavier, and then they showed the old movies and flashbacks and stuff like that. Well, the camera adds 10 pounds. How many cameras were on you? The typical fat jokes. And I mean, when they show Monica being heavier or when they make any comment about it, I mean, it is nothing but just fat jokes. There's no sympathy. When they showed her as that character, there was nothing to the character other than she's super heavy and she likes to eat all the time. I mean, it was, you know, the references to how many Kit Kats does she have hidden in there? And I mean, just is gross. So, anyway, Friends. Man, yeah, you know, I watched it again, and like I say, all this kind of creeps back up on you, and you're like, oh God, yeah, no, this does not age well at all. I couldn't go back and watch it again. There's no way. Ugh. So, and this is the kind of thing Jacob and I were talking about this the other day, about how, I can't remember what it was that he watched, and he just didn't get it. People were talking about how great it was, and he tried to go back and watch it. I think it was maybe a Monty Python skit, or, something like this. And we had this whole conversation about how generally humor is so culture specific that it doesn't translate that well across cultures. It doesn't translate that well across time. That there, it is very rare stuff that is funny in its day and is also equally funny to brand new audiences in a completely different time and place. That is just a rare, rare thing. And, oh, man, yeah, this was a bad example of them. So, let's see. I think that should be it for fingertips. I think we are about done. So you know what? Now it's time for the Pod-O-Matic! Hot dog! This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that's where you come in. You want to hear me have Ron about something? Then you send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums, and I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Sorry, I lost my train of thought there. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. And my very first number is 59. 59 is from... Oh, hey, look, I actually have the list up. How about that? It's like I was prepared and stuff. It's from Kyle. Hey, Kyle. And Kyle says, did you hear about the findings of life conditions on the moons of Saturn and Jupiter? Let's talk about it. Oh, did I? Yes. The idea is that the moon Europa has a moon-girdling ocean underneath the surface. So Europa is... the outside of Europa is a crust of ice that is, I have no idea how thick it is, a mile or two, maybe not even that thick. But anyway, there's a thick crust of ice around Europa, and then underneath the ice is an ocean. It is an ocean that covers the entire globe of it, and then underneath the ocean is the solid rock of the moon beneath. And it is the pressure and the some of the heating, I believe, it gets from passing through Jupiter's magnetic field that allows the ocean to stay liquid. And so they have liquid water underneath the ice. And thus, if you've got, you know, liquid water and energy, then you could potentially have life there. There's no reason that we couldn't find life on Europa, and it's super, super exciting. But I actually listened to a couple of scientists, women on the Infinite Monkey Cage podcast. This was a while ago. And the two women, each one of them had their own favorite moon for this. And so one was talking about Europa, but then the other one was talking about Enceladus, which at the time I had never particularly paid attention to Enceladus. But Enceladus is a moon of Saturn that does not have a globe-spanning ocean, but it does have one or two, I think, oceans underneath the surface. So it also has this thick layer of ice with ocean underneath it. So there is liquid water on Enceladus. And each one of them was giving their arguments for why they thought their particular moon was the one most worthy of getting some of NASA's limited funds to go out and explore this stuff. Because it seems like, or at least it did at the time, this was back during the Obama era, and it seemed at the time that there was going to be funding available for doing an exploration of a moon like this, to send something down there to look for signs of life, to potentially drill, to who knows what. And so they were arguing about which of them was more worthy. And obviously their preference would have been that, well, we should just do both. But, you know, if you can only do one, here's why Enceladus is better, or whichever. Personally, Europa's my favorite, but I just like the moons of Jupiter. I'm a big fan. So there you go. 25. Was sent to us by Ronster. Hello, Ron. Ron says, what material would you like to see a set of RPG dice made from? All right. I actually saw some that I believe were claiming to be made from actual mammoth bone, which would make them super expensive. And, you know, I've never actually held any bone dice, so I can't tell you, you know, how well they hold up. I mean, does bone wear? I mean, I know original dice way, way back were often made of bone. I don't know how sturdy that is. I don't know how cool they look. I can't tell you anything about it, but okay, mammoth bone sounded cool, but okay, wait. What if we carved our dice out of wisdom teeth? See? How's that for an idea? All right. Yeah, I got nothing on this one. I mean, I've seen some cool dice, but, oh, wait, no, mithril. I want mithril dice. There you go. Argument settled. 91. 91 is? All right, and if mithril is too tough to get, I mean, wisdom teeth are, you can find those aplenty. I don't know how well teeth carve up, though, because they've got all that pulp center that I don't know if it, I don't know if you could actually do something with it or not. So, anyway, the roll's been made. I don't know why I'm still talking about the last one. This one is from Mrs. Darks. And Mrs. Darks says, who is your favorite woman scientist? Ooh, that is a good question. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, I was going to say, I'm aware that this is a trick question because the correct answer is, well, you, Mrs. Darks, obviously. But, let's say you were excluding yourself. All right, Marie Curie is always the first person to come to mind. So, you know, her work with radium, she died for her science, pretty cool. But she's the obvious answer. Ada Lovelace, for the early computer, the analytical engine, whatever they called it. I've always liked Jane Goodall, for her work with the great apes. I heard a great, oh man, was it, I can't remember if I read it. Was it in a bathroom reader or was it a podcast that focused on it? Lise Meitner, who she actually did all this groundbreaking science, but her Nobel Prize wound up going to Otto Hahn. He took credit for all of her work because as a woman, essentially, she couldn't publish it under her own name. It wound up having to be published under the name of a sponsor and anyway. But I don't know. You know what? I'm going to go with Jane Goodall. I really like, I mean, again, obviously, Mrs. Darks first, and then second, Jane Goodall. 79 is from, there it is. It's from Kaz. All right. Kaz says, tell us the last game system you were disappointed in. Oh, wait, that's probably a better question for the Hawscast. He says, now, hold on. I make fun of Jeff Hawes for being a negative Nelly, as it were. And, it turns out that he does love a lot of things. He just talks way more about the stuff that he can't stand and the things that piss him off. So yeah, you're probably right. If Jeff were to get his own podcast, he could do that. But the last game system I was disappointed in, that is a hard one to think of because I haven't really tried anything new in a long time. I did pick up, and this was years ago, I think it was the first Gen Con I went to with Kyle. I picked up a Western game called Aces and Eights, and it looked really, really promising, and it turned out to be this very convoluted hodgepodge of systems. There was no consistency. They had, you know, dice for this and a really complex targeting system that you overlay for that. But then, oh, if you want to do a chase scene, you do that with playing cards. And if you want to do, I mean, it was like specific tape. It was like a throwback to first edition Dungeons and Dragons where they kind of just made up rules for each system as they needed it and never paid attention to making them consistent from one to the other. And it was kind of gross. I mean, it was a great setting. I really could have enjoyed it, except that the system just seemed so unplayable, so hard to get through. So I'm sure that's not the most recent game system I was disappointed in, but it's the one that stands out in my mind the most. 36 is from Master. Hey, Master, I haven't seen you in ages. Hope you still listen. What is your favorite color? Right now, probably a slightly grayish blue. Not quite a steel blue, but somewhere between steel blue and cyan, really. I also, I also have a fondness for a muted yellow green as well, but that used to be my favorite color. But now, I think the combination steel gray, between steel gray and cyan. I could give you the numbers for it, but I can't give you a better description of it than that. 93, way down at the bottom of the list. There we go. It's from Kyle again. All right. We've come full circle. Jeez. All right. It's one of these. Quick, make up a 6-word novel about gargoyles. Stone demons trapped motionless all day. There you go. That's all they get to do. 41 is from, I'm almost there. Lost my mouse for a minute. There it is. All right, it's from Zimny. And Zim says, we all know that games love snacks, right? Sure, I'll agree with that. He continues, what type of snack is banned from your gaming table? Oh, barbecue ribs. That would be the worst. You get sauce all over everything, yeah. But no, that's barbecue ribs isn't really a snack food, at least not traditionally. Cheetos. Cheetos or sometimes even Doritos, but usually those are okay. But the cheese powder, the orange fingers, getting onto the game mat, getting onto the dice, the paperwork, the books. It's just anything that's going to be messy. It's just gross. I mean, come on, have a paper towel there. Do a napkin. Take care of yourself. Seriously. It's not that tough. 76. I thought about saying some gas-producing snack, yeah, but honestly, well, no, there are some times that we are at the table long enough that that will make a difference. Because usually, you know, you eat something gas-producing, it's not going to cause any trouble until they're well away from you. But we've had some marathon sessions where it just makes it that much more exciting. All right, this one's from Blue Devil. And Blue Devil says, what is your favorite semi-plausible conspiracy theory? Oh, I've been asked about conspiracy theories before, and I think I've always kind of ducked out of the answers because I can't think of them fast enough while I'm on the air. But let me see what I can come up with. All right, I'm gonna go with the idea that that Elvis faked his death. It was a CIA plot. He was a deep cover agent for the CIA, and he faked his death. And he was actually still alive, I assume, since that would, you know, make him something like 100 now. I assume he's dead now. But, you know, the idea that he actually did live on for a while, as Bruce Campbell in a nursing home for Bubba Hotep, which, oh my God, that's a great movie. Great movie. Go watch Bubba Hotep. But the idea that Elvis, faked his death, or the CIA faked his death for him, and sent him undercover for whatever reason, and then he never came back from that. Like, how deep does your cover need to be? So, anyway, but, you know, semi-plausible. Better than Hitler's brain alive inside a jar. So, you know. 53 is from, there it is. It's from Produce Farmer. Holy cow. That's like 8 different listeners out of 9 questions. That's pretty good. Produce Farmer says, what was your favorite aspect of Luc Besson's most recent movie, Valerian? Did you watch it in 3D? Okay. I can guarantee I didn't watch it in 3D because I haven't seen it yet. Oh, you know, I was so excited for seeing Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets. And then the reviews for it were just terrible. And now I need to go watch it. I need to go watch it because I love Luc Besson movies. And I know this is supposed to be bad and it's supposed to be a horrible mess, but I think I'm going to enjoy it. So, you know what? I'm gonna back up. I'm going to erase the number on this one. I'm just going to leave this one in the mix so that he can ask me this again sometime in case I forget to talk about it. Because I know at some point I'm going to watch this movie. 13. And 13 is from Ronster again. And Ronster says, what can we do to bring bovine back instead of calling them cows, which is a gender, not a species? What we can do is to accept the changing nature of the English language and just accept that they're cows. There's nothing we can do about that. That look, English evolves, and yes, is it stupid that we have multiple words for the same species just because English and French could never agree that, I mean, you know, it's cattle when it's out in the field, but it's beef when it's on your table. They're pigs in the field. They're pork on your table. That's just weird. All right. But that's also just the way English works. And, I would have a tough time referring to them as bovines. That just seems so unnatural to me. I'm all over just calling them cows. And then you go, you know, boy cows, bulls, that thing. Yeah. I get that it's wrong. I get it's completely incorrect, but it's also not like anyone has any trouble understanding what you're talking about. They're cows, man. Sorry. Number 20. 20 is from Kyle. You know what? Since this is Kyle's third one, and he's the winner of today's show, we'll go ahead and call this the last one. Kyle says, you can have the ability to eradicate all cancer now and for eternity. Poof. It's cured. But you'll also have to pick a U.S. state which will have all its inhabitants die instantly and painlessly. Do you do it? What if you can make the decision anonymously? Okay, anonymously doesn't help me because I've still done it. I mean, like, I would have assumed it was anonymous because I certainly don't want to be known as the murderer of 800,000 people or whatever Wyoming has. Because if you were going to do it, if I was going to do it, I would pick the state with the least people in it, and I'm pretty sure that's Wyoming. I think Wyoming has fewer than Alaska. Anyway, whatever state has the fewest people in it. And Wyoming is also a good pick because, Wyoming is majority white. And so therefore, I mean, it's a really white state. And so you can't be accused of being too racist. Like if you pick Alaska, you're killing an awful lot of Native Americans and people are going to think it was some kind of racist choice. And it's not. It's not. But I don't think I could do it. The idea of I'm going to save, you know, yes, I get it's a trade-off that you're saving millions of lives, but at the expense of instantly being responsible for the deaths of a million people, I don't know if I could do it. In fact, I'm pretty sure I could not do it, even though it might be the right decision. I mean, morally, when you weigh things out and put the balance on it and yeah, it might be the right thing to do, but I'm pretty sure I could not do it myself. Let's do one more. That's depressing. 52. And this will be the last one. Number 52. It's from Mrs. Darks. And she says, what is your favorite element and why? My favorite element is probably mercury, just because it's liquid metal. How cool is liquid metal, right? And it's poisonous, potentially dangerous. So, you know, if you had a bunch of mercury, you'd want to play with it, and yet it might kill you. So, you know, it's like, not only is it liquid metal super cool, but it's also kind of a bad boy element, you know? You really shouldn't get your hands in there, but, oh man, what could it hurt, right? Oh, seems so cool. Although, I'm also fond of sodium, just because I loved the science experiment in school when they throw the sodium in the water and you get to watch it explode. That's pretty cool. Okay, and I just had to stop the recording. Lisa called me over, because while I was talking, she looked up videos online and said, all right, quick, you gotta come over here, because if you like mercury, you'll love gallium. And I'm like, oh my god, I forgot about gallium completely. And sure enough, she's got a video I've never seen of this guy molding Lego figures out of gallium. Gallium, which, by the way, is a metal that is solid at room temperature. I mean, it's good and solid at room temperature, but melts at body temperature. So if you hold it in your hand long enough, you get liquid. And this guy makes gallium Lego figures. And then he stands them up, and in various ways, he tries melting them back down. And I'm like, oh, why would you go to all this trouble? But you know what? His melted Lego figures were super cool. He's got one of them where the thing starts to slowly melt down, and he says, okay, now watch. He gets halfway melted. Now I pour cold water on him. And now he looks like you've caught him half melted. And now he's got an actual little Lego figure that looks like that. Or he shows another one melting down. He says, yeah, but watch what happens when I reverse the footage. And it looks like the T-1000 Terminator rising up out of a pool of liquid metal to form into a human being. It was really cool. So, okay. Yeah, gallium's pretty badass. I don't know if I'll say it's my favorite metal, but it's certainly Lisa's, and it's pretty damn awesome. So, there you go. Oh, I was just about to ring it again. I can't do that. All right, we are all done. That is the end. I'm going to turn it over to GLaDOS, and she will give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk, and my bumper music this week was just Weezer's In the Garage. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. You check them out, you buy them, you enjoy them, because I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network, the sole, only, lonely member of the Nerd Pride Network. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use. Write me a nice review. Those things make a difference. But actually, more importantly, write me a crappy review. Just give me 5 stars. The 5 stars are what make the real difference. But if you want to do something super nice for this podcast, the best thing you can do is recommend it to your friends. Because if you're enjoying it, you should spread the word and let other people enjoy it as well, because word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, like the next one is 215, or maybe 216. Well, 216 is easy. Skip that one. 217. So, you know, if you've got interesting nerd facts about any of those numbers, send them to me and save me all of the grueling research. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is to sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. You sign up there, send me a message. We'll hang out together. We'll become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my forums and out to Facebook, and I post up, hey guys, I am recording now. Anything you post there, I will include it at the end of the podcast, which is what I'm doing right now. So, where should I start off? Let's go forums. That's the one that I'm looking at on the screen right now. I posted up and said, hey, we're doing this. Ask me anything. Plus, what's the last role-playing game you've played? How was it? Okay. My first response came from Kyle, and Kyle said, last RPG was Pathfinder. It was epic. All right, and I also know that Kyle just recently started playing Starfinder because he got it for Christmas, so I thought that that was going to be his answer. And maybe it was, and autocorrect screwed him over and went with Pathfinder instead. But either way, awesome for you guys. I'm glad you had a good time. I went and saw a sea turtle release on the Texas coast, and when it was done, this is Kyle speaking, obviously. I went and saw a sea turtle release on the Texas coast, and when it was done, me and some of the family went swimming in the cold water. Not that this is the same thing, but have you ever done a polar plunge? And would you? I have never done a polar plunge. I absolutely would. That is the sort of thing that, yeah, why would you do that? Why would you jump into that cold water? I don't know. Just to show that I can? I mean, I wouldn't stay long in it, but I would certainly dive in and try it out. I think that would be fascinating. I would love to do that. So, Yancey may have done a polar plunge at some point. I'll have to ask him. I don't remember. So anyway, so no, I haven't, but yes, I absolutely would. Absolutely would. Next one is from Eliahad, and he says, Mike, Happy New Year. Hey, Happy New Year, Dave. Did you make any resolutions? Nope. No, I did not. And what was the neatest gift that you received? You know what? I honestly would say that, Nelly's surprise gift of cards was pretty cool. Although, I got, let's see. Look, my Alien Archive was pretty awesome. Because, oh my god. The Alien Archive for Starfinder? Guys, you guys. It's not only is it a bestiary full of all these, cool alien beasts and magical stuff and space fairies and who knows what else, but there's also 20 playable races in this thing. Oh, man, that was so cool. Although I can't seem to pry it away from my kids, but still, good book. Let's see, what else did I get that would have been really super cool? I got myself a new lava lamp, and my kids got me the Colosseum in nanoblocks. That was pretty awesome. I don't know. I got some good stuff. I got a lot of good stuff. So probably Rhino Hero was the coolest game, though. God. That, I mean, honestly, you have to try out Rhino Hero. It's not even like it's an expensive game. It's under $20. I think it's under $15, but it's a fairly cheap game, and it is, you know, a minute to learn how to play it, and 5 minutes, 10 minutes to play a single game, and it was just a lot of fun. I mean, me and Aiden and Jacob must have played like 6 rounds of this thing, and we, now when we play it, we're really poor sports, and so, you know, we were doing things like trying to yell just as the other guy's gonna play us a card, trying to be really mean about it, and it was just hysterical. We laughed so hard. So, yeah, poor Jacob had this giant tower, and he goes to place the card on top, and I mean, like, you can see him stealing himself. He's getting ready. He's just about to place the card, and he's, like, frozen in position there. He takes a big old breath, calms his nerves, and then he lets his breath out and blows the whole tower over. Oh, God, that was funny. I mean, again, Rhino Hero, great game. You really need to jump in on this one. Okay, next up, what's the next question? Here we go. Then Dave continues and says, the last RPG I played was Pathfinder. It was pretty nifty, especially because of the people I get to play with. They're all pretty cool, especially DM Darks because, well, he's awesome. So awesome. Yeah, look, our Pathfinder game is going really well. I'm having a great time with that one. And then he says, oh, Mike, what do I do with all those game components that come in the games? I find they get in the way of the true essence of the game, but I don't want to just throw them out. Should I save them? Do they have some other purpose? Okay. I gave Dave crap on the last podcast about saving the punch-out sheets from Small World. And so now he has gotten new games for Christmas, and he's setting up new games with his family. And so he punches all the pieces out, and then he sends me pictures of the punch-out sheets to go, oh, man, check out how awesome these babies are. Cool, huh? So, which I was, you know, that's his joke, and I didn't want to steal it. But the punch-outs for... The Captain is Dead, include a whole bunch of character figures that you're punching out of clear plastic. And so when you get done, the punch-out sheets are these your clear plastic sheets with holes in them that looked pretty cool. So I had to send him a shot of those. So funny. At least, look, it's funny between us. But I'll share it with you guys anyway. All right. And then next up, it's one of those where you had to be there, but you know what? I'll keep telling you anyway. All right, and then I post up, done. So let's go over to Facebook. And on Facebook, I said, now recording episode 214, and what was the last board game or card game you played? How was it? And first response is from April, which is brand new. April owns the game store here in town, and she is awesome. And I'm going to, I think, take Godball down there to play test maybe this Friday. Maybe. We'll see. But anyway, April posts up and says, the last board or card games that we played were Jaipur. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. But Jaipur, Sagrada, El Dorado, and Champions of Midgard. But the last one was Jaipur. Okay, cool. How were they? I guess I'll have to find out later. And then Nellie posts and says, hi, I played Monikers. I've never heard of Monikers, which is a really fun game. You have a bunch of cards with words and descriptions on them. We had words like Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, Bubble Boy, Juggalo. You split everyone into two teams. Round one, you can use words except the word on the card to get your team to guess the word. All right, round two, same, but now you play it charade style. Round three, you just get to say one word and your team has to guess from there. Your team has 1 minute to get through as many cards as possible, and then teams switch, so on and so forth until all the cards are gone, then they get shuffled around, and round two starts. So, you really want to pay attention to what the other team is doing so you know what words are in this set of cards for next round. Oh, cool. I've never played it, but I enjoy party games as much as the next bloke. So, bloke. I can't believe I just said that. I enjoy party games as much as the next guy. And I don't even have a good excuse for it. It's not like I've been watching a show that has British characters that would speak that way. It's not even like I have no idea where that came from. I'm sorry. Sounds cool. Then Sarah Beth posts up and says, last game I played was God Ball. Have you heard of it? A friend of mine told me about it, yes. She continues, it's pretty damn awesome, and it's being designed by some guys I know. Oh, man, I am so enjoying setting up God Ball. I really, really looking forward to this next playtest. I'm also, again, scared to death of doing this next playtest because, you know, I'm going to be introducing it to strangers, and it's this, as much as I love it and as much as every single game of God Ball, people have enjoyed it and had a wonderful time, it's still, you know, it's our baby, and it's the idea that oh God, yeah, but what if I don't have the rules right? What if I don't, what if it, it's still worried that somehow, people are going to think it's dumb. People are going to be crappy about it. I have no idea. You just get weird. I'm sure Dave goes through the same thing every time he plays it. But again, just got to get over that. We'll get the game out there. We got to keep this thing moving forward. I'm having a good time. And then, Patrick replies to his wife and says, also the last thing I played, but before God Ball, it was an unstable draft. That's the new joke Magic the Gathering set. Yeah, I heard about it. Unstable, yeah, that's the joke cards for Magic. And apparently, the Clubhouse, which is April and her husband Jake's store. Well, they're not actually married yet, but anyway, it's easier to say husband. Their store, the Clubhouse, they have Magic Night, and Aiden and some other guys were down there playing the other night, and Aiden came home and, one, had a great time, but two, said, oh my God, for my birthday, as many unstable expansion sets as you can get me. They're the new joke set from Magic. They're on sale at the Clubhouse. Buy them for me. So that's probably going to be among his gifts for his birthday. So I have never seen any of the unstable cards for Magic. So I'm actually really looking forward to seeing these. I've just gotten on board in the last 9 months. So this will be my first time seeing any of their joke sets. I've heard all about them. I'm excited. So, all right, hold on. Is there any more? I think Pat was the end of it. So, Pat, and then it's just me saying, done? So we're all done. All right. I hope you guys had a wonderful holiday. Sorry to be away from you for 3 weeks. I took a couple weeks off for the holidays, and I was cool with that. But then, as I'm listening to my own podcasts, the podcasts that I listen to, it's just been a dead spell. Everybody took the time off for the holidays, and I've had absolutely no podcasts to listen to for ages. I've been going back and listening to, old episodes of the Thrilling Adventure Hour. I've been going back through those, and they're really entertaining, but you know, kind of want some of my favorites to come back, and they're all on vacation. So I realize for those of you who listen to this podcast regularly, and I put you in the same position of having nothing to listen to for the last couple of weeks, sorry about that. But hey, I'm back now. And we'll keep it going. So, you guys are awesome. I love you. I appreciate you showing up. I appreciate you contributing to the cast. And I will see you next week. Say goodnight, R2. Oh, say goodnight, Lisa.
Goodnight, Lisa.
See you guys.